What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny screencast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the producer slash seducer, Nick Scarpino.
Top of the morning to you, Tim.
And making what I think is his first appearance on an actual Kinda Funny podcast in the spare bedroom, the big dog, Kevin Coelho.
You're right. That's 100% true. Can't wait. Oh, it feels great. Can't wait to talk about some hot D. I've been itching to talk about it, Tim Tam. These last couple episodes have been real good.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Hot D is itching.
Dude, I hate you so much, Nick, because we've talked about hot D for the last 10 weeks, right? I've never heard it referred to until about 2 minutes ago as Nick calling it House of the D. That makes it even worse somehow. You know?
Does it or does it make it that much better?
I'm not sure.
It makes it worse. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Let's take a
picture. Because hot D is enough. You know, House of the D. Yeah.
House of the D. Of course, this is the Kinda Funny screencast where every week we get together to talk about the latest in TV, movies, and trailers. We have missed the last couple episodes of Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, because we have been launching the studio and all of that. So very excited to get here right in the nick of time for this finale so we can talk. There we go.
All right. That's too much.
But we're about to talk about that today, right here, live on YouTube.com/kindoffunny. You could also watch it later on YouTube. You could watch it or get it as a podcast. Just search your favorite podcast service for Kinda Funny Screencast. Quick note, there's been a ton of issues with In Review on Apple Podcast in particular. You need to unsubscribe and resubscribe, and that should reload it, and then you're totally good.
Really?
It's off our end. It's very unfortunate, and it sucks. So if you have been subscribed to the In Review feed for us, please unsubscribe, resubscribe. And if you haven't subscribed before, subscribe now. It's the best time. And while you're there, subscribe to Screencast. So much great content, and there's only about to be a whole bunch more. If you want to get the show ad-free, you got to go to patreon.com/kindoffunny, just like our Patreon producers Molecule, Al Tribesman, and Fargo Brady on YouTube have done. We appreciate all of you so very, very, very much. Today, we're brought to you by Policy Genius and the official The Lord of the Rings, The Rings of Power podcast, but we'll tell you about that later. I want to get right into it.
Mm-hmm.
We're done with season one of House of the Dragon. Way better than I think any of us could have ever imagined a Game of Thrones property, Game of Thrones spinoff being in 2022. Nick, what are your thoughts?
Overall, just a phenomenal season of television. This is one of those shows where I was not looking forward to it going in. I was one of the detractors. I was one of the people saying, we don't need prequels. There's no way to tell a good, compelling story. But they got me back, and they got me back with really good characters, really good actors. And literally every time I sit down to watch one of these episodes, I think to myself, do I really need this, do I really want to watch this, it's going to be intense. And then by the end of it, I'm always clamoring for more. And I was talking to you guys earlier, because of the studio launch and all that stuff, I didn't get a chance to watch the last like two episodes. So going into the season finale, I had two hours and 20 minutes of Game of Thrones to look forward to. So I went a 3-hour block yesterday.
That's pretty good.
And it was awesome. And it was so, and by the end of this season, you're like, I can't believe I'm saying this. If I would have put money that I wouldn't say this back in the day, but I am so ready for the next season of this show. So ready for it.
Big Kev Dog.
Man, it was a bummer that this episode didn't end with the trailer, because I was like, I want a little tease of what's next, because I'm so into the season. I'm with Nick where, I mean, the end of Game of Thrones left such a sour taste in my mouth. And every time they like allude to the White Walkers and like the prophecy or whatever, the Conqueror's prophecy, what she called it this time, I'm just like, shut up, just move on. Like, we'll just ignore that. Jon Snow's not gonna do anything. Like, he's not. It doesn't matter.
His watch ended.
Well, not quite.
That's a good point.
Maybe they're gonna do more of that.
Oh, right, I forgot.
But yeah, I mean, I'm loving this season. The fast forwarding through stuff, the time jumps have been insane, incredible. I do think there's a little bit of a negative that we don't build a relationship with characters that we have had time to in the past. So it's like now you meet people and you're like, oh, Cole seems pretty cool. Next episode, like, oh, Cole sucks. And it's one of those things that like I would have liked to get a little bit more development in that aspect of like, oh, okay, so like this is how that character is changing versus like the next episode, it's just like changes happened. Like, you know, like now he's just crazy. Oh, and then the episode after that, like, oh, now he's evil. I would have liked more time with it. But at the same time, I'm loving all the, like, I'm glad that the crab man we only got for, like, basically an episode. And by the end of the next episode, it was done. And it was like, all right, that story's buttoned up. And we understand how it leads to the overarching story. I thought that stuff was really cool. And God, I'm so stoked for the next season. Like, this left me sitting there being like, why is it over now? Couldn't they make like a massive season or something? But like, next season's gonna be crazy.
Yeah, I really hope we don't have to wait too long. It has been renewed, but as far as I could find on the internet, there's not like a plan of like, oh, it's coming next year or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So that is definitely a bummer. But they can take all the time that they need if they're going to make shows this damn good. This season was absolutely incredible. I think that it was not just a great season of TV. It was a great season of Game of Thrones. And to me, that is a totally different level of quality that we're talking about. This show delivered everything that I loved most about the Game of Thrones series in spades, and added the unique twist of the time jumps. I thought that this show used them very well. I don't think it's something I want to see in a bunch of other projects or whatever, but this season of this show functioning the way that I did, I think really kind of made it special and stand out in a way where we got to see entire lives of some of these characters, and some of them cut short and some otherwise. But I really think that the show, in terms of costume design, in terms of like, it's the little things, like seeing Rhaera, I think her name is, in the battle armor. Like, she just looks so damn cool. Very cool. And they get to the table with the flames in it. That's like the map, and like,
it's that was such a great
when
effect.
When they slid the flames underneath, and you're like, what are they doing? And they're like, oh, it's a light up table.
So cool. It's just, those are the choices that separate Game of Thrones production from other TV shows, where it's like, they didn't need to go that hard, but they did. And it makes it so much more, not even real. It just feels like I don't want to look at my phone for a single second watching this show, because they have earned every single ounce of my attention. And I think that from episode one till now, it's like, some of the recast didn't hit perfectly for me. But I think overall, like, anyone that I had to complain about, by the end of it, I'm like, you were true to the character, and you kind of like really got me to a point, just like Kev, where like I was begging for there to be a trailer for season two, some type of hint of where we're going. Because honestly, this felt like it kind of ended abruptly, but that's only because I can't wait for more. When you think about structure of what they've done, it is just such a great kind of prologue season to getting to the Dance of the Dragons, which is the dopest name for a civil war between dragons I have ever freaking heard.
The moment where we got like actual scale for these dragons, because like, we've seen these dragons isolated. We've seen Vhagar coming to, you know, Kid Aemon and him climbing on top. And you're like, okay, it's a big dragon. But then like in this last episode, when Vhagar, right? That's the right name for the dragon.
The big dragon.
Big dragon just comes out of the clouds and like, first of all, our first like little hint of like, oh, he's really, really big, where there's the storm and the lightning lights him up, and you're like, oh.
When he's like that great shot where he's not, he doesn't see him yet, and he's overhead, and the audience sees him first, you're like, this kid's dead. This kid is so dead.
But when he comes out of the cloud and just chomps him in half like it's nothing.
So brutal.
And it's like, dude, now the war's on. The war's on, right?
But also the brutality of was it Aemond? That's the iPad guy that looks like he's 74 years old.
He's so old.
You want to talk about poor casting? This guy's, I mean, the character's great.
He's very good.
But he looks older than Matt Smith. I'm gonna just throw that out there. Not great. But his reaction to it, of obviously he was just trying to antagonize his cousin, and like not even himself being fully committed to it. And then when the kid comes out and blasts smoke, and then he loses control of the dragon, he's like, no, you have to listen to me. And then the reality of what he's done, where he has just started the war, is such a great way to end that. And then, of course, you know, Rhaenyra is like, just turned around like a boss from that fire, being like, it's it. What I needed. And the game is on, man.
Now, what's interesting about that, though, Rhaenyra, is like, how would they know? Like, how would Matt Smith's character learn that this is what happened, unless Aemond decided to own up to it and be like turn it to a thing of like, yeah, I killed him. Like, I did that. Because otherwise, there'd be no way for them to know, right?
In those last moments that we spend with Aemond, he looks like he's like, he fucked up.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, like, both dragons, they seem to have lost control of it, because they're both like, no, serve me, do what I'm telling you. And then we see Aemond saying the same thing to Vhagar, and it's like, oh, they both lost it. The dragons are kind of going AWOL. But like, yeah, you have to imagine he's told people, right?
Well, but it's not even that, though, right? Was it Baratheon's house?
Yeah.
Storm's
the guy's
house.
Which you've never seen, right?
Which looks super cool. Dope.
But that guy was like, not here. You're not spilling blood on my shit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He saw them both leave. So you got to figure at some point if Eamon's not going to own up to it, Brett, someone's going to be like, hey, what happened to the hall? He's like, oh, he definitely killed the kid. Mm. For sure killed the kid. Like, there's no
and
getting around.
Dragon.
And a dragon.
Like, when, like, oh my God, when they're talking about the numbers and the scale of the war.
What did they say? Wait, 13?
Even 14 to 4 is what they're talking about. So now it's 13 to.
And they've got more, right? He's got more eggs.
I got eggs coming. Yeah. It's like, it's so sick that they're building this, but I love that we have Rhaenyra here kind of like representing the other side and like more like her father of not trying to go to the war and all that.
Yeah.
But even her talking about like the moment dragons get involved, it's
all fire.
It's all fire. Everything burns. It's just like, we're seeing that happen, and like, also we know what ends up happening, at least in the far
Targaryens
future.
Targaryens are gone, right?
And there ends up being no Targaryens. Yeah. And oh, I need to stop right there.
Yeah,
somebody blew my mind on the Kind of Funny subreddit a couple of days ago and posted a picture.
Finally,
of Sisko.
Yeah,
and it was like Sisko is the last living Targaryen.
Wow,
but we're not
that's
ready to
incredible.
Talk about that.
Incredible.
Like, come on.
Wow. Good for Sisko. He's been planning that since the late 90s.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him with the hair. Mm-hmm. That's great.
But anyways, yeah, I loved her characterization. It felt very authentic to who she is, and I think it created a really interesting plot so that when things would go good or bad or whatever, you're like, oh, and so seeing the dragon on dragon action had a little more oomph to it of like, oh, this means blood. This means like the war is unstoppable at this point.
Well, what's gonna be interesting is one, like, man, how many dragons are gonna like be needed to take down Vhagar? Because like that dragon,
at least four. If they're if they're the same size as the kid's dragon, you'd be a fleet of those dragons,
right?
That thing is
huge.
That's
where like having baby or like eggs, like I don't know how much that's gonna, matter, right? Because like you have to wait for them to grow, and like no one's as big as Vhagar.
They do still have Sea Smoke though, who was one of the bigger ones, right?
Yeah, like, but I believe all the dragons like that are like next in line for biggest are about half Vhagar's size.
Yeah, it's a big.
If I'm
how big is I'm forgetting.
Syraxis,
the one with the
Daemons.
No, not Daemons. Well, his is pretty big. No, the ants or the woman who should have been queen, not Rhaenyra. Rhaena, I think is her name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How big is her dragon?
It's probably the second biggest.
Okay,
I
believe. I think
that thing
so.
Looked pretty big when it came through the whatever
the floor,
that.
Yeah,
that was
pretty
badass. Another great moment, which we haven't had a chance to talk about, like how cool that was. It just busting through the floor and her not starting war or ending it really, which was a bad call
opinion. Terrible
in
missed
my
opportunity.
Opinion,
come on,
like she could have ended it all right there, mm-hmm. burned it all to death, gone and got Rhaenyra. Brought her back and but like we're coronating the queen right now, mm-hmm. and that would have been it. But we're like, then we wouldn't have a season two. We wouldn't get the full story of this. But I was like, oh, she's gonna light him up right now.
Yeah,
and then and just screamed a little bit and then went away. And I'm like, well, that sucked.
Well, I mean, she's not the like queen. Like she doesn't have that right to just like start a war. Because like at the end of the day, like people are making their allegiances with them, right?
Yeah.
So even if they wiped them all out, there might be still be some consequences.
You got to imagine it's not a good look. You're like, I just killed. I mean, she could have, if it went the wrong way, she definitely could be beheaded for that, right?
Oh, yeah, for
sure. You know, talk about beheading. Oh, my God.
Oh.
The scene with the brother.
Oh, my Lord. Yeah,
his
tongue
sticking out of his half-severed head. Oh, jeez Louise.
The level of like, we're going there that this show has done. Like, in my opinion, too far with some of the stuff. It's like the childbirth stuff. Like,
they got to stop with the childbirth stuff.
They really got to stop.
That was
this episode. I do think they went too far.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't need to do that
for sure. Yeah. I mean, obviously, the one thing I'll say is everything this season. Well, first off, going back to the time jump stuff, I hope they don't do that for the next season. I hope they slow it down a little bit and we get a chance to kind of see these characters a little bit more, which I think they will.
I think they're going to
have to.
Like, because at a certain point, like,
what are they
going to
jump
20 characters?
Years from now, the war is over?
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we figured that one out.
I mean, they've shown, though. I mean, now that we haven't talked for the last couple of weeks, they have shown, and I love this, because when we were talking on episode 1 and 2, and when we first started seeing time jumps, I'm like, oh, man, Viserys, he's going to, any second now, he's going to die. They kept that energy up for 10 episodes. Like, this man was slowly crumbling to the point. I love that we saw his last dying breath.
Oh, that guy.
And it was so beyond death than I've ever seen captured on film, ever. Like, that motherfucker was falling apart in the most
ridiculous way. I think it helped that his
way.
Eye was missing and, like, a chunk of his face.
Y'all.
Yeah.
Hold on.
But like, bro, abdicate the throne. You could have avoided all of this by just abdicating.
It's like, it's hers now.
It's hers now. I clearly cannot lead anymore. I'm on the milk of the poppy, which we've all been there. You know,
Game of Thrones delivers in many ways, but it rarely delivers the hero moment. We rarely get the thing of like, triumphant music and like the more like Avengers, like the theme songs playing and all of that. Every once in a while, something happens. But normally on Game of Thrones, if epic music's playing, something bad is going on, right? There's exceptions to that. But seeing King motherfucking Viserys bust those doors open and slowly walk with his mask on, getting onto that throne, it was beautiful. It was so fucking exciting. And like, I am cheering for this dude that the entire episode, the nicest thing we could have said about him is that like,
he's pretty polite.
He's pretty polite. Yeah. You know what I mean? But like,
he kept the peace.
He rocked it. And I loved it. Again, the costume design, just like having his mask, him taking his mask off and yelling at his family, like that whole scene of the family and the cousins like antagonizing each other.
Did you at any point, did anyone out there watching think you should be like, you thought we could be decent in an indecent world? I'm like, what's up, Two-Face? Anyway, what I was going to say, though, was I think what this season did really, really great was that slow burn, that slow build of tension, right? And when they finally start launching the plan in place, what a great episode of those incredibly good-looking twins, one of them trying to sneak Rhaenys out of the city.
Oh, Eric and Eric?
Yeah, Eric and Eric. Is that what their
names
are? One
with an A, one with an E.
Is that really how?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
In the subtitles, it's E-E-R-Y-K and A-A-R-Y-K.
Which is annoying because they look like my friend Eric, which is crazy. A little bit of man bun. But that scene of them trying to sneak, one of the guys trying to sneak her out, you feel that. You're like, you got to get out of the city. Like, she is going to kill you. And then turning around and seeing it and then realizing like, oh, it's too late now. This thing has been done. Having Aemon like not want it and then realize the power that he's got in his hand and then hold the sword up. And everyone's like, okay, what's that?
Aegon.
Aegon, sorry. I'll just call him Aegon from now on. Yeah. It'll be Aegon, Venkman, and Spangler.
Yes.
That's right.
For everything. Do you understand me?
Sounds like dragon names.
Just a great setup for what I'm hoping will be just a fucking awesome season two of this show.
But also, like, what a good call for her of being like, I'm not leaving this place without my dragon, bro.
Oh, you
like,
got yeah. Well, that's because he was like, we're going to go. She's like, where are we going? He's like, oh, we're going over here. And you're like, why is she? I'd be like, get me the fuck out of here. I don't care. Mm-mm. You forget that she's got a dragon docked over in the
dragon pit.
Yeah, the dragon pit.
The time jump stuff was so interesting because there's the super obvious on the nose things of like seeing some of the main characters have time jumps and grow. Mm-hmm. We see it. But then I like how they started playing it with it in the sense of like, okay, the Driftwood guy, like, oh, they just killed him off camera. Or did they? Oh, they're not saying he's dead. They're saying he might come back. Then he comes back. I love that, like, not every time jump had the same kind of through line of like, oh, we're only going to see important things on camera, or we're going to like do things off camera all the time because we are jumping that far. They kind of played with it. So like, I was like on the edge of my seat the entire time, like, who's still here? What's going to, like, what pieces are even on the board? And that's why I thought that in this episode, seeing them plan what could turn into a war, I'd be like, who do we even got right now?
Yeah.
Talking about the Starks, talking about the Baratheons, like going into it all. And the plan of sending everyone out, like, we have dragons. We're going to go and be the messengers. I was like, this is so exciting.
How great was it to see when the board lit up? Did you notice, like, one of the first places you see is Winterfell?
Oh, dude. And I got
you're like,
chilled,
all right,
man.
Okay, we're going to see some Starks soon. It's going to be great. Yeah. They're going to be the ones that come in, and we're like, yeah, they're the cool kids, the Starks coming in. That whole sequence is great, though. What a great piece of visual storytelling also, right? Like, this board, this world that is dead and dark and you can't see anything is now fully lit up with fire. Yeah. Like, you know it's coming. It is just going to be a bloodbath, and it's going to be so freaking good. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I really liked it at that moment when everyone's losing their shit and scrambling and people are like advocating for war and like Damon is sending
Damon.
Out yeah it's the
so
names right and is starting to send out all these ravens that like that's when Rhaenyra the aunt
Rhaenys I think is her name
Rhaenys like that's the moment where she's like looking at Rhaenyra
yeah
okay there we go and she's like oh okay. Like, she is better suited to lead than anyone else I see here.
Well, because she has that moment, right?
Yeah.
Where she's like, we're not, I don't want to start a war.
Right.
And she actually thinks about the offer, right? Should I actually, I mean, she's probably not going to take it, but there's that moment where she goes, let's take a pause. I'll tell you tomorrow. Like, mm-hmm. They'll have my answer tomorrow, which is what, a good ruler would do. Let's weigh the options and figure out
instead of just killing Otto on the spot.
Right. Or, yeah, and causing a war, which she knows, let's be honest, she can't win yet because mm-hmm. she doesn't have the actual allies for it, right? Other than the, you know, and the, and, Man, I got we got to memorize all these people. We need to do like cheat sheets and cards, like flashcards of people's names.
They do it on purpose. Man.
I know.
They're fucking with us.
But the sea snake coming mm-hmm. back in mm-hmm. and having that moment where he's like,
I think we call him a seahorse here.
Seahorse.
Mm-hmm.
Got it. Having that moment where he's like, you've got us. I'm on your side.
Yeah.
And having that look of relief in her face, being like, thank God.
So many years.
But do you think at one point you'd just be like, hey, come here. Your son's not dead.
Yeah.
He just wanted to leave.
It would be so simple to say that.
You'd be like, I'm just going to let you know because you think I killed him. He's not dead.
Yeah.
He just wanted to go away with it with his significant other, with his lover.
Classic
and just go live somewhere else.
Classic Citroën situation.
Or call him up and be like, send her a raven,
mm-hmm.
something. Send your mom a text, bro. What are you doing? Like, let her know you're okay.
He'll come back eventually. You know,
of course he'll come back eventually, and it'll be like at the worst possible time. But man, I was like, you talk about like not picking up your phone. There's one moment where he was talking to Rhaenyra, where Viserys was talking to Rhaenyra, like on almost on his deathbed before he makes the, you know, that last stand, and Dee had watched all of these already. She goes, hey, you need to pay attention to this part because I picked up my phone. She goes, put it down.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay. I put the phone down, and then having her be like, you have to stand up. If you want me to take this, you have to stand up for me and tell everyone that. And then having him just not being like being completely incontinent and then coming back. And then
that means.
Sorry, does that mean you can't poop?
No, it means you like can't control your pooping.
Well, I mean, am I wrong?
No, yeah, I mean, there's a good chance. This is a great chance.
Am I wrong?
Great chance.
But him not being with it so much. And then having that conversation with Allison. Where he thinks he's talking to Rhaenyra,
yeah,
and then saying like, "Hey, it's got to be Aegon," and it's like, no, and then you feel bad for her because she's like, "I'm on the fence here, like I was just gonna give it up," and then all of that, oh my god, like what I wasn't expecting was that tension between her and her dad,
yeah,
of being like, "We're not killing Rhaenyra," he's like, "You know, we have to, right?" And now mm-hmm. they're enemies, and now she's starting Oof. To play the game too. It's so complicated.
It is
man.
So good. But before we get to Kevin's thought, real quick, let me tell you. About our sponsors. Kevin Koala.
I was just gonna say, like, I like now we're going back a couple episodes. I like that when Viserys dies. Viserys, right?
Yeah. The king.
Yeah, and when the king dies.
I go by position of like the aunt, the king, the queen, the other queen.
Well, now Aegon technically is king, right?
Yeah.
But anyways, when he dies, we get the small council that meets up. And everyone's like, what's going on? And Ooh. It's like, clearly they've been plotting. And like, there's that one dude who's like, fuck this noise.
Yeah.
Like, you've clearly been plotting.
Yeah.
I'm out. And they're like, uh-uh, you're sitting out. And it's like, Cole, stop.
You gotta chill.
You gotta chill.
Also, the fact that Allison was taken by surprise by that, right? Where she was like, wait, have you guys been plotting this? And Dad's like, come on. Yeah. Bro, come on. And she's like, no, this is not cool, yada, yada, yada. But then, man, that one guy. Let me tell you one thing right now, guys. Give it a day. Before you leave the castle, don't just immediately get on your horse and try to leave King's Landing. That dude with the foot fetish is like, I'm gonna kill this guy right now. That shit was hard. That scene was tough.
I'm glad you brought that up because that was a weird scene. The foot fetish thing was just such a weird scene. It was really funny to see the internet react to that.
Yeah, that's Game of Thrones, right?
Yeah.
Here's what I'll say about that, and this is a shout out. I will continue to shout out Olivia Cooke for. Fucking being such a good actor because it's so hard to portray vulnerability and strength at the same time, and she nails it every single time. She is in that perfect, she plays this character so perfectly as someone who's like has a combination of fear, ambition, like a strength for her family, and then just not wanting to be in this situation at all. And that's one of those things that she had, like she felt she had to do to like protect her family and to keep going forward. And you see, and she says none of that in that scene. It is just literally all visual. It's just her putting the feet up and this, and then looking away. That look away was like, God damn, dude, this is like, what a great actor. She's got to get an Emmy for this.
Honestly, she was incredible. And I thought that the choice that they made to have episodes 9 and 10, like, they're essentially the two main women aren't in the other episodes. Like, it very much is like, here's your episode and here's your episode. Mm-hmm. And they really got to shine.
You kind of feel like it's like, hey, these are the two families reacting to the news.
To the news that is like the core thing of this entire show. But like, I think it really allowed for some great acting moments for both of the older actors for the two leads.
Yeah.
And they just brought it. Like, I feel like though it was episode 9 and 10 that cemented those characters as, oh, this isn't so much they're right, they're wrong, because it's like you're with Allison, where it's like your family is a bunch of assholes and they're definitely doing things wrong here. But it's like you are on the right side of this. You heard your husband say that. right? Like in her mind, it's like it's she's not
pretty indisputable in your brain unless you understood that he is was talking about another conversation and not knowing where he's at.
Yeah,
yeah, that was tough. I mean, the setup for this is always it was very, I want to say, fulfilling. But we got to a place where I was like, all right, there's no other way. Now we have to have dragon on dragon action.
Now it's time to have
the dragons fight and let the dragons duke this out.
And with that, I was so impressed with how the show actually ended, because last night I'm watching this episode and I'm like, I am all in. Y'all dropping 14 on 4 dragons. We're about to get a dragon war. Like, you're calling it the dance of the dragon. All this stuff is so damn cool to me. But then I was like, there can only be 20 minutes left. Like, there's no, what are they about to do? And I thought they did a great, great thing of teasing us with the dragon action with an incredible dragon scene. The flying through the valley,
so cool.
All the stuff with the clouds, the breaking through the storm, like all of it was beautiful.
It's wild how well choreographed it was, where it was like the moment where Vhagar cuts him in half is so cool that you forget that there was a cool chase through that valley that was like something out of like How to Train Your Dragon, which is like, it looked so cool, and like the kid was smart. He was using his dragon size to his benefit, but it's like he couldn't get away far enough.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing right now. The second you see how big the other dragon is, like, this kid's fucked. Yeah. This kid is fucked.
I like how they like the actual plot of what happens there. Like, I liked that the little kid's dragon kind of lost control and like shot at the big one, because like that did add that level of, oh, they're not in control. Like, I'm happy they did that as opposed to
I thought the kid made his dragon.
No, I think it was an accident.
He's like, dude, stop. Yeah, like, they were both out of control.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. I didn't catch that.
Yeah, once he shot the fire, or like once they burned the side of his face, that's when the kid was saying, like, no, listen to me. So yeah, there was some...
Well, that's when Aemon was saying, listen to me. But I thought that
they both said it.
Oh, yeah. Was it? Okay. Because yeah. I thought the kid came out of the, like, I'm gonna actually try to kill my cousin with that flame burst.
No,
because he was the side. It was the dragon that he burned, not the.
Oh, got it. Okay, so the
I think so.
Burning.
Yeah,
I'll tell you this though. Pissed, yeah. What a great shot when he lands in the rain and the thunder hits and you see the dragon over parked over in the distance. I'd have been like, bro, get back on your dragon and get out of there. Yeah. You lost this one.
Yeah.
You lost this one. You were a little too late to this one.
Also seeing the Stormman dude, Baratheon guy, being like, you didn't even come with an offer? It's just a reminder of my oaths? Get the fuck out of here.
Get out.
Yeah.
And it's such what a fun, it reminds me a lot of, not a lot, but a little of, what's the guy's name from The Red Wedding? The guy that was the head of that house?
Frey.
Kind of like that, like, what's going on here? Like, are we going to play both sides? Are we going to, you know, he's out for himself.
I mean,
obviously.
he was there sitting being like, what are the offers? Oh, you have nothing for me? Get fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I mean, the show just did such a great job of building the tension that the moment we see that giant dragon, obviously, like, we're like, whoa. But then you're also like, whoa, oh, man, this is Eye Patch guy. He's already in there. Ooh, little kid, you are fucked. Like, there was no way he was surviving this episode. And when you get into there, he's like, I want your eye.
I was like, that escalated real quick.
Yeah. He's going to get that damn eye. When he took his thing off and he had the, like, the blue gem in his shit, I'm sick. Like, bro, that's sick. It's
very
fuck.
Cool. Yeah, that, I mean, I love, there's also a great moment with him and Cole where they're training and he goes, we're going to have you in tourneys in no time. And he goes, fuck tournaments. He's like, dude, there's a war coming. I got to be ready for that shit. You're like, this guy is no joke. And then you see the other brother, like, going harder on his brother. Because he's like, we got to be ready. And the little one's like, dude, we're already like, well we should have been training 20 years ago for this shit, man.
They're just way too young to be competing against Aemond.
Yeah.
Like, Aemond's bad casting. I really like the actor. I just think that, like, for the age that he's supposed to be in, it doesn't make, like, he got us all the, like, the big genes. Because he's way taller and, like, looks like he's solid 28. Like, if we're being really generous,
That guy's a 34-year-old guy.
And his brother looks appropriate. What, he's like 16, maybe 18?
Well, what's weird is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but when Aegon was younger, he was the taller one, right? He was the tall, skinny one that was kind of a brat. He was the one that was, like, just being an asshole to his mom the entire time. It literally looks like they changed actors. That they were like, oh, this kid should be shorter for no reason. But I'm like, okay, it's weird. If you put the two actors next to each other that are supposed to play the younger and the taller one, there's like a foot difference between those two actors.
Yeah, but sometimes that happens, you know? There was one
you
point
shrink?
Where, well, no.
Can the inverse happen? Other, can I get taller?
But, like, you know, like, the middle kid had a growth spurt that obviously the oldest didn't have and stuff like that. Like, when I was back in elementary school, I was one of the tallest kids in my grade. That didn't, work out for me in high school and stuff like that, but, you know.
Well, Barrett, the good news is if you and I both go to an elementary school right now, we're probably going to still be short. So. There you go.
Oh, man. Well, so here we are. This is Game of Thrones, House of the D. season one is over. We know season two is coming. We know that there's a, from what I understand, let me know in the comments, because like there's so much information out there. From what I understand, currently the only Game of Thrones shows that are actually happening are season two of this and then whatever the Jon Snow thing is.
That's
all the other things have been canceled, I think. That they like, because there was like a bunch of different.
I think you're right.
Stuff, but I think that they're over. So I'm interested. I want more.
I would not be surprised though if we started getting some announcements pretty soon about new stuff and development.
Yeah.
Because this was, I mean, this was a huge test bed for them. I think. I mean, they're not saying that it was, but I'm pretty sure. I'm like, they need another Game of Thrones. They need this to be a temple series.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it worked, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think everyone's loving it. So I would not be surprised if we're getting the Jon Snow. I mean, we're obviously getting that. And if they're like, we're gonna tell people we're greenlighting two more seasons of the show right now.
I really, like, if just for a moment, let's talk about shows we'd like to see. I think that I would actually like to see The Usurper War, like, that came right before, like, 20 years before Game of Thrones that we know of. Because, like, there's, like, not rumors, but, like, fan casting of, like, people, and it's, like, what's the, they're saying Superman for...
Henry Cavill as Bob Baratheon, Bobby saying B. in the chat right now.
Bobby B. Bobby
I
B.
would love to see that. Because he was supposed to be this giant... hulking of a man that carried a 65-pound like hammer that he wielded one-handed, and I want to see that. Like that, like I think that would be really cool. Also, that would be a bigger scale of like just wars with like people versus wars with dragons.
Yeah,
and like some of the wars that we saw in season 5, the Bastard Bowl,
mm-hmm.
like that was dope. I'd love to see more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and I don't think we're gonna get that with this show.
Is that what they call it, the Bastard Bowl?
Yeah,
like
right?
The Super Bowl of Bastards.
Yeah,
awesome.
Wasn't it the Battle?
I think it was the Battle of Bastards.
The official name, but
okay, yeah,
the
Bastard
Bowl. That's badass.
Clegane Bowl. The Clegane Bowl is what you're thinking.
No, Clegane Bowl is that was also something that happened that everyone.
Well, I'm just letting you know that you're. That's why you're thinking of bowl. I don't think the.
No,
bastard,
I think they called it Bastard Bowl.
Yeah, okay.
I think so.
All right.
Chat. Let us know. Let us know if they called it the Bastard Bowl or not, or Kevin and I are thinking about the Tostitos Bowl.
Well, there we go. This has been the screencast for House of the Dragon season 1. Let us know in the comments below what you thought of this, what spinoffs you would like to see in the Game of Thrones
a lot
universe.
Of people are saying I'm wrong.
I'm